Hi, I'm Leo Souchard, and welcome to MBA Without BS.
Welcome to MBA Without BS, where I speak with top voices in business, education, and the business of education. Hey, this is the second part of my interview with Leo Souchard. If you haven't had a chance yet, I recommend you listen to the first part as well. It should be the previous episode. I think you'll enjoy it very, very much. Happy listening.
And is it something that you feel that you were just born with and it's a gift? Or is it something that you're training, you've trained?
I don't think that you can learn charisma.
Okay.
I think that you can teach some things, but not all of them.
If you had to teach one thing to the listeners,
okay,
what would that one thing be?
Be modest and don't be arrogant.
And there's a guy named Derek Sievers. I don't know if you know him.
No.
He created a company called CD Baby, like in the 2000s. That was an indie record label, right? That went very well, and he sold it, and he invested all the money in a charity that promoted music. Blah blah blah. Great guy. He started his career as a professional musician. But soon after, he became like the guy who presents in the circus. Like the
guy with the hat.
With the
hat.
Ladies and gentlemen, today we're going
anchor,
to see an
really?
Anchor. Yes.
Wow. Okay.
And he did that for 10 years. He made a living out of it. You know, he bought a house and so on. And he described that in the first like 5 shows. He was like, hey, today you're going to see this and that. And he was like with his guitar, blah, blah, blah. And then someone took him and said, look, these people are here to see a show. They're here to be entertained.
True.
So you must go all in, you know, entertain them. He said, ladies and gentlemen, tonight you're going to see the most beautiful. So the question is, you know, what role does the entertainment play?
Lot. It's the showmanship, you know. You have it's true what you said. People came to be entertained. People came to be amazed, and you have all the positive factors. This is a high-end entertainment. It's very intellectual entertainment. It's interactive entertainment. So you might get picked from the audience, and some of the acts, all the audience are get picked, and it's funny. It's a stand-up show. It's a funny show, and again, going back to what you said. At the first 10 seconds, you really have to, you know, blow their minds. I remember the first time I went to see Celine Dion in Las Vegas. And the video, the show started with a VTR. It was too long but VTR of her traveling all over the world. And you see, here she goes, hello, Sydney. Hello, New York. Cut. Hello, London. And then I thought to myself, wait, Celine Dion needs to...
Sell
herself that she did. We know who Celine Dion. We know who she is. And then I said, no, yes, she needs to give you the experience of, okay, she's done all over the world, all those countries, and now she's here for you. You are becoming, you know, part of the show, and it's really amazing. So this is why that was the concept that I also used my opening for the show. Me traveling the world and doing lots of amazing things all over the world, which gets people excited. The show, in the show, I'm going crazy. I'm running. I'm not standing in one place. I'm running into the audience. I'm picking people. I'm making fun with them. I hug them. That's the thing that I missed a lot. It's a big party, and I'm the host of the party, and I run the party. So my job is to get 1,000 people, sometimes 5,000, sometimes 50 or 20. But they have to all be a part of the experience.
And why in the first place are you doing this? Like, you can live probably a comfortable life right now, do this maybe once a week or twice a week. You don't have to do it every single day. What's pushing you? What's driving you?
I love the progress. I love the adventures. I love that when you create something from nothing. I love that you are, you know, the best shows in the world are for what's called the hard ticket sales, like tickets.
Yeah.
Because someone actually bought a ticket, with his wife or girlfriend or whatever. And they went, they drove to see you and they got dressed and they're seated and they're going to see you for 2 hours or right. an hour and a half. And this is, by the way, those shows in my world usually pays the less money because you pay for the rent of the place and the lighting and the everything and unions and whatever.
I see you've been on Broadway.
A little bit, yeah. So, but it's the most fun shows. Unlike what we call gigs, which is beautiful shows, but these are like 1,000 people from a company. They all know each other. They had to be there because the CEO told them you have to be here. The afterwards, they were like, oh my God, it was amazing, but they had to go there. So it's different. I really, really, really love to perform. Even when I am working on the startups or business or development or consulting, I'm still performing. I'm still performing. I love to perform. For me, unlike you know, stand-up comedians, when they tell you that everybody tells them, tell me a joke, and they get frustrated because of this. For me, I love it. I really love it because I always try new things and new concepts and new ideas. So when I try something, maybe it will not work. But again, it's here. I'm trying something. It's fine. It's part of the process. So I'm doing it because I work. I don't really work. I get paid to do something that I love to do. I love to get people's jaws, you know, falls. I love the reactions. I love the questions. And I love the audience. That's why... And again, I have these debates with talents, and maybe I'm doing wrong, but you know, some people say at the end of the show, good night, thank you very much, and people are clapping their hands, and on the clapping hands, they're in the vehicle on the way back home or something like that, or hotel. With me, I'm like, thank you very much, everybody, and I go into the audience, and I just stay a little bit. I just stay. And I think this is one of my things that people remember.
Do you ever practice on... You know, the family, the wife.
Well, sometimes my wife is the worst audience in the world. She loves to mess things up because she doesn't follow instructions. Part of the concept of what I do is you have to follow instructions. I told you, okay, I'm writing down, putting it aside. Can you tell me a number? If you would say to me, okay, I got a two-digit, I told you a two-digit number, you'd say, okay, I got 377. I would tell you, hey, it's not what I asked. So... You have to follow the instructions. She doesn't follow the instructions, and which makes her the worst audience. But it's fun, you know. I try new stuff all the time.
And are you still in the character, or are you still performing? Let's say when you're trying to convince your kids to go get a shower.
When I'm convincing my kids to get a shower, no, I'm kind of like I'm an ordinary. Father, but right. I'm a crazy. No, I'm a kid myself. I'm wearing a Superman ring because
yep.
I didn't agree to wear a regular wedding ring like
yep,
yours,
like this one.
So my wife bought me a Superman ring, and it's kind of interesting. The metaphor is kind of interesting because I am Superman on stage and off stage I'm Clark Kent. I'm like clumsy. I forget things. I forget my meetings. My office looks like a mess. You know. And I'm not organized.
You wear glasses?
No, okay. not yet. give me some time. And on the show, I remember the names of 100 people in the show, but I forgot where I put my car keys, and I forgot, you know. So it's kind of like this is my character.
So you mentioned this ring, and I started wearing it not too long ago because I recently got married.
Congratulations!
Thank you very much. And I've been using it, so someone taught me a trick, right, mm-hmm. a skill, and I've been using it to interact. So mm-hmm. instead of just being a passive object, every time I sit in a restaurant, mm-hmm. I show this trick. Can I show you a trick?
Yeah, okay. Show me. What do you do?
So it's a simple trick, right?
Okay.
And I tried this on Dan. This is how this interview came about. I told Dan, I have two questions
Dan
to
Ariely.
Ask you. Dan Ariely. And he said, okay, how do you want to decide? I said, I'll show you a trick, and if you can guess right correctly, I'll take number one. If you guess incorrectly, I'll take number two. He says, okay. And then he guessed correctly. I said, wow, that's surprising. He says, I have a lot of experience with Liol, so I already know what you're going to... So I'm going to show you the trick.
You're going to do the French drop.
French drop.
It's called the French drop. This is my prediction. Okay, yes.
So other than the trick itself, what's yes. important is the speech I give the waitress before I start. I say,
okay,
I have a ring here. This is only a ring, right? I mm-hmm, take it here. Mm-hmm. I take it here. I don't put it in my mouth, right? I don't put it under my tongue. I can pass my finger through it. You can pass your finger through it. Can yep. you verify this is a true ring? Now,
true
I
ring.
Take this ring and I don't put it under my mouth. Where is the ring?
Here.
Which one? Are here. You sure?
Yes.
How about now?
No, it's still here.
No, it's here. And I do this basically until they give up. Either they fail wrong, mm-hmm. right? Or they give up, or I have to admit defeat.
And yeah. You know, it's interesting. Way. The French drop is this.
The French drop is this. This is the French
right.
drop. This is when you drop the ring. And not getting into the mechanism, what it does, but I can give you lots of psychological subtleties how to do this correctly, because the concept is,
if you hold something and you look at it, people will look at it. if you really believe,
and this is the essence of being a mentalist, if you really believe that you're doing it, it will transmit outside.
Right.
So if you're like shaking and you're not doing right. it the right way, it won't work. But if you kind of like if you have the ring, and this drops because, you know,
it's not here.
It's not here. Right, it's here. I'm looking at it right now. Then you will believe also. Okay. So, what you've done it's a great. I never seen this thing with the mouth. It's a great concept, but when you do it, you have to do it in the offbeat. Huh. What you did, I'm talking. Yeah, the ring is here. Look at the ring. Are you ready? Are you ready? It's kind of like.
It's in the moment.
I'm burning you.
Right.
You don't even have to say I take the ring. Because you take the ring, you don't say that you take something if you take something.
Right.
Right. So if I do this and say, can you hold this? and you immediately believe it because it's really credible. It's really credible. I can do it like this. and the best way to do it, by the way, and to practice this, is to really do it. So now I really take the ring.
Right.
It's real here, and I do it again. I take the ring, and I do it again. I take the ring, and I really believe it. And when I do this, it needs to look exactly the same. It needs to look exactly the same, and you really have to believe it. But it's a very cool trick.
So thank you.
Mm-hmm.
How about we switch to some rapid fire questions?
Rapid fire, shoot.
Shoot.
Is it yes or no?
No. It's okay. Anything you? Oh no, absolutely not.
Okay. Okay.
So what is one book or books that you've given most as a gift?
My book. Okay, I'll tell you some more. My book, Startup Nation.
Yep.
And when I was younger, I loved Chariots of the Gods.
Oh.
One of my favorite books. You said Aliens before. So
right.
Remind me of the book. I love this book.
And what is one or two or three books that influenced your life personally? Chariots of the Gods can be one of them.
Chariots of the Gods. It's funny. I mean, it's Superman comics.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What happened?
Superman is actually Moses. Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
So think about the story. Do you know the story of Superman? The basic story from the beginning?
Basic story, yeah. He was born in Krypton.
Yes.
And his parents, when Krypton was about to be destroyed, yes. sent him on a
so
spaceship.
They put it on a little...
On a little arc spaceship.
Yeah. Yes, he traveled.
Right.
Found by adopting parents.
Right.
They adopted him. He grew up and became
a leader.
Superpower. Yeah. A leader. Doesn't sound familiar?
Interesting.
No?
Interesting.
They put Moses in a little ark. They send him, went to Egypt, grew up, became a leader. Yeah, it's the same story, basically. And I always love this concept.
Very cool. This one I borrowed from Tim Ferriss, who is a great podcaster. I learned a lot from him. So if you had a gigantic billboard anywhere, just imagine the billboard size of a country, and it could say anything on it, one word or a paragraph. And this would be your message, literally, your message to the world. What would that billboard say?
It can be a sentence.
It can be anything.
Always think positive thoughts. You never know who can read them.
I never heard the last part. You can never know who read them.
Yeah, that's my add-on to that.
I loved it. I love it. So I'm a huge believer and supporter of, you know, whatever we choose to call it, positive psychology or the power of positive thinking. What role has it played? And I'm deviating a bit, but what role has it played in your life?
I think quite a lot, because I had lots of, when you have someone, when you ask someone about success, or it's always relative. Success, someone has, different people see success in different ways. And I think that people are not aware that on the way to succeed doing what you love to do, there's lots of ups and downs. Many people are not aware of the downs. You advertise only the ups.
Right.
So positivity and optimism helped me a lot to overcome the downs and focus on the ups.
So we spoke about people with luck, right, in the experiment.
Yeah.
And I was looking down and I saw this shoe that had Superman on it. And I was thinking, I must be...
It says also, look at this, it says also a Lior on it.
Oh.
And it says, and it has here, and it has here my hands, and a question mark, and it's a specially designed Nike shoe.
Really?
Yeah.
Is it a specially designed Nike shoe? Wow.
And the other one, bring me the other one for a second. And on the other one, there's a hand with a brain, and it says Suchard here.
Wow.
And yeah, they done it.
So, you know, I feel lucky. I was just like looking under the table and
there
finding this.
True.
So what is one of the most, and this is, again, an RFQ, right? So what is one of the most worthwhile investments that you've recently made? And this can be money, time, you know, energy, whatever it is.
When COVID started, actually my last flight was in the beginning of March back to Israel. Wow. We started to hear about it. And then we were all quarantined, all of that. And like... 60 projects has stopped, flights and shows and stuff that I was ready to do. And I was thinking a lot, you know, when I was doing broadcasts and TV shows and live shows, I always use a little bit of interactive with the audience, some fun interactive. And I said to myself, will I be able to do it as a show, the whole show interactive through Zoom or other platform? And I was sitting and I did like pilots with people from Facebook to try to do lots of shows over the screen. So I really created a virtual performance experience, which I'm doing right now. I set up a studio here. Sometimes I go to a bigger studio, but basically I broadcast from here to a conference of a company. And I blow people's minds through screens, which is not the same. But for now, this is the most important investment that I've done to be able to do this.
I think I've seen something on the Late Late Show, right?
The
thing with
the cards.
Five cards.
That was fun.
Yeah, that was cool.
Mm-hmm.
That I can really, like this, I maybe can grasp that. Mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, another time. Okay, the last RFQ for you. What is an unusual habit that you have? Maybe that other people don't have.
Unusual habit.
Or an absurd thing that you love doing.
Okay. My favorite music is soundtracks.
Soundtracks of movies.
Soundtracks of movies. Yeah.
Were you watching
Hans
a lot
Zimmer
of...
Hans Zimmer and all the gang. Yeah.
Were you watching a lot of movies when you were growing up?
I watched a lot of movies. I love to see movies. Not all of them are like Oscar-winning movies,
right.
Fun movies.
Right.
From the classics, you know, from Indiana Jones to Back to the Future that we all love. But I fell in love with the music from the movies. And when I see a movie, I always listen to the music and I try to break the violins and the horn and whatever comes there. And after the movie, I check it out on Spotify and I listen to it and I find interesting stuff in it.
Are you a musician by orientation?
I love music. I'm sensitive to music. I play a little bit guitar and piano, a little bit.
It can be interesting. You can jam a bit.
But you play?
Yeah.
Guitar?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
I play a little bit, but again, I keep it as a hobby. The interesting thing, I did a charity event and part of the charity was being on stage and play guitar.
Ah.
And I had a stage fright.
A stage fright?
Fright.
Oh, stage fright.
Yes, with the guitar.
With the guitar?
Yes, because I was not doing what I'm normally
used to doing.
Yeah, that's kind of disarranged. I was like very, very excited and nervous and all of that.
And were you able to raise money for the charity?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Of course. That was the most important thing.
Yeah. So you performed, even yes. though you were a bit... So how do you keep yourself like in focus, in, you know, in center? How do you keep... I asked you before about like fitness or meditation or mm-hmm. whatever it is, but what? How do you keep you?
I don't. I just started. I had lots of years where I was traveling a lot, going from hotel to hotel. It sounds exciting, but it's not always exciting. Doing a show, going back to the hotel, going back home, going back, traveling a lot. I had this for a while, and right now I'm like 6 months in Israel. No flights. Actually, there's lots of good things that happened. It made me be with the family a lot. It made me think and create other ideas that I always wanted to do and couldn't without, you know, there's a word saying from too much work, you don't have time to work.
Yeah.
And part of the work that I always wanted to do is creativity and create new things. And while I was in the process of running, I couldn't do it. So now I can do it. I'm working on several things. Yeah. That's basically it. I think that remind me the question again. I lost you.
How do you keep your center?
So from running, I don't think I have a center. I'm like an electron running to different places. If you take me to a yoga class, I'll be annoyed because I can't be too calm. I'm always thinking and creating and thinking maybe you should do this, maybe you should change this. I always do this, which led me to start working with companies in the last years.
That last part, you said it offhandedly, but yeah. What does that mean?
Part of being a mentalist is to understand people, right? To understand, to perform, to understand people and to create this for the acts, for entertainment acts. I discovered that part of it is a lot of creativity and a lot of looking at the product, right? The product or the people or the audience, but it can work for other things as well. Lots of problems that companies has that they have an amazing idea or technology, but they don't know how to tell the story and they don't have enough creativity. And I always say this example, again, it's very rough, but if you have an amazing product, technology, but you don't have a story, it will not work. It will not work. No matter how you have, I don't know, you have a cure for cancer, but you're sitting in a basement with writing the codes, but nobody can, you know, find it for you.
Reach
out, it will not work. On the other hand, if you have an amazing networking and you reach out to everyone, but the product sucks, it will work, but just for the beginning. It will not remain. It will not remain. It has to be good. So you have to keep the balance between the story and the product.
And when you interact with companies, where do you focus on?
I came as an advisor for a couple of companies.
Yep.
Most of them like B2C or B2B2C, something related to consumers.
Right.
Has to be related to people because I know what they want and they think. And my knowledge from all over the years, it translates into advising of how to act and how to move and how to do different things with the product. I also created like a chain of relationship. So I'm not a finder. I'm not working as a finder, but sometimes I can help a company because I know this person and I know this person. I can connect. This is like secondary for me,
right.
Or even. Not in the business, but it helps. It helps to know. In my traveling, I meet a lot of people. I experience a lot of people. I have interesting people in my roster that I'm in touch with. And if a company interested me, sometimes I found myself invest a little bit in the company. Someone once told me, if you are an advisor of a company, you have to
put in money,
even a little bit.
Yeah.
Even a little bit to make sure, even because when you talk to someone and you said, I put some money, you look differently.
Absolutely.
Completely differently. Only in Israel they will ask you how much. But abroad, nobody will ask you, okay, how much money did you put?
Right.
Nobody will ask you. So you have to put money. And if it's interesting to me, I look at the product and I try to help as much as I can. So, you know, I do this while I'm
doing everything
on
else.
Entertainment, yes.
So when I spoke with Dan, he said, you know, Lior is an intuitive social scientist, right? So the one of the
intuitive social scientist. Okay.
He says what it took me like 30, 40 years to kind of learn and, you know, doing experiments and this and that, you know, he does every day. And his angle comes from experience, not from looking at data all the time and kind of drawing conclusions.
True.
How does that relationship look like with you and Dan?
The first time, you know, I'm a big fan of Dan, always been. And when we had the idea to do a show together, I came up with the name Brainstorming because it's this one. And I was a little bit afraid because I'm like the clown doing entertainment. He's like the big professor studying all of that. But then I discovered that this is the power of this relationship, is that you have this person who studied on data and analytics and experiments, and I'm from real life interacting with people, and this is what caused the great connection and friendship. I think that is a great person. Sometimes I think that I tell him it like it's too rational.
Too rational.
You can't be too rational, right? Very analytic, and I'm like bouncing all over the place, and I think that was the high key. We were sold out completely, and I can't wait to do it again. We're actually meeting later this week in a seminar that we're both been hired to perform, a virtual event.
Wow.
So he's explaining, I'm doing my thing, and it's really fun. I love him a lot. I love to observe him while he talks from knowledge, from everything he experienced. Sometimes my answer is completely different, so I don't know which one is the right one. So maybe the combination of both will be good.
I read a quote in one of the older articles that immediately associated the image to your show, and that was I think you said that Albert Einstein said that either that you believe that nothing is magical or that everything is magical, right? So either you find magic in life and you say every single thing is.
I think you have to be open to the possibilities of everything.
Of everything.
Everything. Even if I tell you, we talked about UFO, I don't believe in UFOs. Don't say I don't. Say I don't think, maybe. I don't know. Just be open to the possibilities because you don't know it 100%.
What do you know for 100%?
Nothing. Nothing. So I just say open the possibilities. If you're open to the possibilities, you are increasing your chance for other things.
So Leo, we're approaching the vicinity of the end of the interview.
Yes.
Just want to be respectful of your time.
All good.
So just a few more questions and kind of wrap things up. Who are or who have been, let's say, teachers or tutors, even if you don't know them, people that you've learned from in your life and maybe you would recommend others to look at or read through?
Well, I can't recommend my father, but he has been an important character in my life. He is alive and well in Haifa, knock
Thank
on wood.
God.
And he was those persons who never hire a lawyer, you know, to even when they took 10 shekels more in the, I don't know, in the TV services, whatever, or in the phone company. Or a cellular company, they took like 10 shekels more and he was like going to court with them and win that 10 shekels. You know, he was one of those. He was a man of education and a man of learning, and he still teach me until today. And I start to see myself, him in me when I teach my son and daughter, which is interesting. So he will be the one. About tutoring, again, I mean, I can give you a list of books that I read, but this was just for education and for knowledge. But I would, you know, we have a small clique of mentalists. It's not a very big niche. So clique of mentalists here in Israel, even abroad, and we talk, and we create ideas for another, and we consult. And this is the things that I love the most: to talk and create concepts and to think creatively. Because I think, I don't know if it's proven, but I think that it's easier for someone to give creative advices to somebody else than to himself. If it's the same, let's say that we are in the same occupation.
Right. We are, obviously. You've seen me with the ring. And
yeah. No, but if let's say that you're doing a podcast and I'm doing a podcast.
Right.
And we're both like frenemies or friends, right, or different concept. It will be easier for me to give you advice than to give myself an advice.
Ah.
And same vice versa. You will give me advices because you look from the outside. Mm. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It will be easier for a stand-up comedian to talk with another stand-up comedian, and the other one will write to him jokes or ideas. Oh, you know what? You stand here. Maybe you should do like this. Then to him, because he cannot see. He's inside the system. He cannot see himself. From an outside perspective, it's easier to get the ideas. So I love my friends. I have some cool friends that does this, not a lot, and I love to interact with them and get ideas.
Cool. So I think what you were referring to is called externalities. That Dan and I also spoke about. When you want to enforce a certain habit or you want to change something in yourself, it's easier to have this something that's not only your mind,
mm-hmm,
to help you, you know, to kind of force you to do it or to get that exterior knowledge. Okay, so two things before we end. One, I would like to play a little game with you.
Okay.
Okay, the game is called Only Three Words, and it goes like this. I'm going to ask you a question, and then you have all the time in the world to think about the answer, but when you do answer, you can only answer in three words. Three words. Okay? So let's say I ask you, no, Leo, what is your what are your favorite colors? And you would think, and you say, oh, we're in Israel. Blue, white, and red, let's say.
Four words.
Blue, white, red, right? Yeah. Nice. Good.
All right, got it.
Do you understand the game?
Yes, I am.
Yeah. Are you willing and able to play?
Yes, I am.
Okay, perfect. So in only do you know the question I'm going to ask?
Of course.
So in only three words, what are the three signs that tell you or that indicate to you what a person is thinking about?
Repeat the question again.
So in only three words,
mm-hmm,
what are the three signs that tell you or indicate to you what a person is thinking about?
More than three.
Okay. Okay. Do you care to elaborate?
You said three words.
Yeah, but now we can open it up.
There's tons of things.
Tons of things.
It's from the body language and to the to suggestions, to the influencing, to the nonverbal communication, to the what I say to you in order for you to say 77 10 minutes later, you know, stuff like that.
Nice. Okay, now I understand.
Positioning, lots of things.
So now I got it nailed down, and I can start asking people to think of a number between 1 and 100 and see what happens.
Start with between 2 and 4 and see what's happening.
Okay, Leo, and maybe to kind of wrap up, is there anything that we haven't spoken about, that I haven't asked, that you would like to say or mention that you think can positively influence the lives of the listeners, of anyone listening to this podcast?
I think we talked about it briefly, but I think it's all about being opening to the possibilities. We didn't spoke about the skeptical people, you know, the hacklers in the shows and stuff, and it's fun. Skeptical are my unpaid publicists because they talk about the show, they talk about me, they talk about lots of things, and it's good. It's a good thing. when I finished the show with Dan, I mentioned a sentence that says that, you know, be open to the possibilities of things. Don't believe. You don't have to believe. Just allow yourself to be open to the possibilities that things can happen. And then I say that it's not that we are getting old and we stop playing. It's that we're stopping playing games, and that's why we're getting old.
Huh.
And I really believe in this. You know, again, I go to a toy store with my son, and I'm looking for something for me before I look something for him. And when I bring something from Amazon or Ali or whatever, I like, this is interesting for me. And I love to play, and I love to explore. So to people, explore, be curious, and be open to the possibilities, and think positive, of course.
And with those words of wisdom, Leo, I would like to thank you very much. Thank you very much for the hospitality.
Thank you for coming.
Interview.
It was fun. Thank you.
Thank you to me as well. Thanks for listening. Hope you've enjoyed it. If you did, please rate and comment on your favorite platform. We're on iTunes and Spotify and SoundCloud and Anchor and many, many more. You are also welcome to check out our website, mbawobs.com, for past episodes and to subscribe and stay tuned for our future episodes. So check it out.